Well, it's been a great week. I had the privilege of joining the men's team kind of in progress. My wife and I were in Orlando speaking at the Jesus Film Project, Campus Crusades Ministry, World's Missions Conference. And it was kind of cool to be talking about the Great Commission and then fly to Haiti and actually participate in what that's all about. And it's all because of your generosity. It was great serving and representing Crossline Church. So thank you so much. And while I was gone, Pastor Jordan gave us a great word from God. Let's thank the Lord for Pastor Jordan serving in that way. I agree with Pastor Kenny. We've got some great servant leaders here at our church, both you and our staff. We're in a series. Jordan kind of continued it last week. We're looking at Luke chapter 11 and 12. It's the teachings of Jesus. We're called the Master's teaching. Sometime back, I was looking at that Great Commission passage in Matthew, where Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And it just struck me. How can we be teaching people to observe all that Jesus commanded if we don't know what Jesus commanded? So that's what this series is really all about. What did Jesus really command? What did Jesus really teach? What's the religion of Jesus? What does Jesus really say about following God? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I'm really glad that you're here. In fact, I want to let you know where we're going. What you can expect out of this message. If you've ever asked, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? Or what would it look like if I became a follower of Jesus? Or if you just ask the bottom line question, how do I actually do this? You know, give me something practical. What can I actually do? That's what this message is about. I'm calling it Follow the Directions. You may be here, you may be watching online, and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. You're curious. You're not convinced this is really true or relevant to you, but you're willing to check it out. You may be like the guy several years ago, back when I first met Pastor Kenny. I was at UCLA. I was working with Crew, Campus Crusade for Christ. I was leading a Bible study in a fraternity, and there was a guy there that I just really liked. You know, he had that woo factor, you know, just some people you really like. Pagan as the day is long. In fact, if you looked up pagan in the dictionary, his picture was probably next to it. But I really liked him. He was a fun guy. And after three or four times that he'd been in this Bible study, he said, you know, I'd like to meet with you. I've got some questions about what you've been teaching on. So I'm thinking, awesome, he's going to ask me all kinds of questions about, you know, salvation by grace through faith, and who is Jesus, and how he could really put his faith in Jesus, and what it would look like to actually invite Jesus to come into his heart. No, none of those questions. In fact, he said, I understand all of that. I want to know what's my life going to look like if I really become one of his followers. So all of his questions had to do about like sleeping with his girlfriend and taking drugs and drinking and partying. And he really was saying, is my life going to have to change? And you know what I told him? Yes. If you become a follower of Jesus, your life will change. In this passage, in Luke chapter 12, wherever you may be in the spiritual continuum, Jesus is going to tell us our lives need to change. He actually gives us some directions for being one of his followers. Now, if you've ever put something together, in fact, I'll just kind of say this to any of you parents out there that ever bought a present for your kids, maybe at Christmas time, and you read those dreaded words on the box, some assembly is required, and then you dumped it all out, and if you're like me, you kind of think, well, I can wing this. I can just throw this together. I can just put it together. This last Christmas, my wife got a present for our granddaughter, Hallie, one of those playhouses, you know, playhouse for her. She's 2 years old. So I thought it was one of those little tykes playhouses. You know, they're plastic and you just kind of hook them together. Only I went out to the garage where it had been delivered and I picked it up and right away I thought, this is not plastic. I mean, it was heavy. I opened the box and dumped it out, and all of these wooden pieces and parts and screws and everything came out. And when I first looked at it, I actually thought, there's no way I can do this. I don't even know where to start. So you know what I did? I followed the directions, amazingly. And this is what it looked like once I put it together. Now, don't applaud for me. All I did was follow the directions. You may think about becoming a follower of Jesus and go, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what it's going to look like. Follow the directions. Because Jesus gives them to us in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 verses 1 to 12. He says this, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you've whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you're to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So let me pause and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me right now what I ought to say. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that we get together. Thank we get together. And thank you we're worshiping you and we're talking about you, Jesus. May everything I say be about you. May all of our understandings be about you, Jesus. Help me say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So follow the directions. Jesus gives us 5 directions for being his followers. So wherever we may be right now in our spiritual growth path, these are the directions for what it will really look like to follow Jesus. And remember, it's Jesus who's giving them. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus who lived a perfect life. Jesus, who was a healer and a forgiver and a bondage breaker. Jesus, who went to the cross for us. Jesus, who died to pay for our sin. Jesus, who rose from the dead. Jesus, who right now the Bible says is interceding for us. And Jesus, who's coming back again to rule and to reign. He's the one who's giving us these directions. So really, you follow Jesus and you follow his directions. You follow Jesus, you follow his directions. Here's the first one. Avoid all hypocrisy. Avoid all hypocrisy. See, the strongest words that Jesus had, the most harshest criticisms and words of judgment that Jesus ever had, was towards religious people for their religious hypocrisy. We need to understand that. We need to know that. Jesus says here, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they're the religious leaders, which is hypocrisy. This is a command, beware. It's a word that means to give your attention to this and stay to it. And what is that we're to give our attention to and stay to? Our understanding about the false teaching of the Pharisees, this hypocrisy. We're to avoid hypocrisy at all costs because it's the very opposite of the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is authentic from the inside out. It's heart change that comes out in life change. It's not outside in, it's inside out. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. They had their religion down. They had all their rules down. But they couldn't even live up to what they were professing and teaching. And so they knew they couldn't live up to it. So you know what they did? They faked it. They faked it. And there's nothing fake about a real relationship with Jesus. It's authentic. I mean, you might be struggling. You might be taking 2 steps forward and 1 step back, but that's real. And Jesus said, don't act like you got it all together. Don't be like the Pharisees who are religious posers. In fact, there's a whole chapter in the Bible where Jesus rebukes and condemns Pharisaical hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 23, 8 occasions, Jesus begins this, scathing rebuke. And he says, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." And then he describes their hypocrisy. Now, lest we kind of sit and go, "Well, that's the Pharisees." Let's think about their religious environment and compare it to today. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives. The Pharisees were the people who actually believed the Bible. They believed the Old Testament. They believed it literally. The Pharisees were the person who set up rules because they wanted to obey God. The Pharisees were the persons who were fully devoted in what they understood it meant to be in a relationship with God. So let's transpose that today. Where do you think we might find modern day Pharisees? Out on the streets or in a church? In a church. Where are we right now, gang? We're in a church. Hypocrisy is not just something out there, man. It's something in here. And we gotta see what Jesus is saying. To be one of his followers, follow the directions. Avoid all kinds of hypocrisy. Because, religion, it's just a false knockoff on the real thing. A couple of years ago, our family, we went to Italy. We were supporting a missionary at that time. Andrea Giorgi has actually preached in our church here. He's now in the United States, pastoring a church in San Diego. But at the time, he had a church in Florence, Italy. He ran a seminary. He was the director of the whole country for Campus Crusade. And our family went there, got to serve with Andrea in his church and do some ministry. And then a couple of days before we came home, we went down and we went to Rome and we toured Rome. So we're in Rome as a family and we went to the Vatican. And it happened to be one of these really sunny days. And we came out of the Vatican, it was really sunny, and we were going to continue without the day. And I'd forgot my sunglasses. So I walked up to a little stand that was out there on the plaza, and they were selling sunglasses. And I was going to go buy a pair, and the guy, quoted me this really exorbitant price. And I said, "No, they're just cheap sunglasses." He goes, no, "They're Ray-Bans." And he held them up and said, "Ray-Ban" on there. I said, "They're not Ray-Bans. No, I'm not going to pay your price." So I offered him $10 and he said, "No." And we started to walk away and he stepped away from the crowd who was looking at the sunglasses. And he goes, "I'll sell you these for $10, but I don't want anybody to know that I'm lowering my price on these Ray-Ban glasses." Well, I put my Ray-Bans on. Only before the end of the day, they weren't Ray-Bans because the logo wore off and they were Ray-Ban. I had Ray-Ban glasses. They were cheap knockoffs. They looked at first like Ray-Bans, but they weren't the real deal. See, that's what hypocrisy, it kind of looks on the outside like it's real, but it's not because it's not real on the inside. Jesus wants to be real on the inside because that's real Christianity. Having Jesus in your heart, having your inner character transformed by Jesus working and living inside of you. Jesus says, avoid all kinds of hypocrisy. See, the key is not living before men, he's going to tell us in a little bit. It's living before God. It's living with God as our audience. In fact, that's what Paul says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, and so we speak. Not pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. So Jesus is giving us some directions here for being a follower, and he says, avoid every kind of hypocrisy. That's just not consistent with an authentic relationship with me. Here's a second thing he says, by way of directions. Don't fear man, but fear the Lord. Don't fear man, but fear the Lord. Jesus says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that, they have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who has, after he's killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, in the original language, fear appears 4 times in 2 verses. So with my keen powers of Bible observation, I conclude this is telling me something about fear. Who to fear and who not to fear. Jesus says, Don't fear man. Don't fear human beings. Fear the Lord. See, the fear of man can manifest itself in a lot of ways. In the context, we'll see as we further unpack this passage, he's talking very specifically to Jewish people who were getting religious pressure not to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and if they were to become followers of Jesus and receive his salvation into their hearts, they could expect some pushback, some persecution, even possible martyrdom. Well, with that kind of before you, you could understand, man, you might be afraid. And it's just normal. We have fears. We all have fears. But Jesus says, in relationship to him, being a true, authentic follower and what it's going to look like in the directions, he says, don't fear man, fear the Lord. I doubt if very many of us here are going to actually face the kind of persecution that would lead to martyrdom. There are believers all over the world, though, that do face that, even today. In fact, there's more martyrs for Christ today than in any period of history. But that's probably not what we're going to experience. But we will experience the fear of man. You see, and I can relate to this very personally. When we fear people, we sometimes become avoiders, because what we're avoiding the response we don't want to have from people. Maybe we don't want their anger, or maybe we don't want their rejection. Or maybe we're afraid of what would happen if they were to give us some kind of rejection. So we become avoiders of conflict, but it's driven by fear. Or maybe we go the other way. Rather than avoiders, we become enablers, because we're afraid that people might leave us or reject us or not approve of us. And so we kind of lose ourselves and our personal boundaries in trying to just give them what we think they want, so that they will give us what we want, which is to be loved. I can relate to that. Because of the family I grew up in and how my personality, I can relate to that very easily. In fact, I remember when I was in seminary, and I'd already been in full-time ministry for a while, and I knew that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I was taking a course, I think my senior year in seminary, was on pastoral counseling and kind of what can happen in a counseling situation. Because sometimes when you're counseling someone, they have all these issues and they're expressing them, and you're not the issue as the counselor, but you can feel like you are because you're the target of opportunity. It's just coming out and you're on their radar screen, right? And so then you can personalize it. So this was about how not to do that and how to actually be a little more sympathetic and objective in being able to help people. Well, we had to read a book. And the book was How Helping You Is Hurting Me. And I realized, wow, I fall into that trap a lot of times, because I care about people and I love people and I want to help people, but I also want them to like me and value me and appreciate me. And so sometimes what drives my helping people isn't compassion, but what I kind of get out of it. Oh, I'm okay because you're telling me I'm okay because I'm helping you. Now, maybe nobody here can relate to any of that. But what that is when you pull it all down is it's fear-based relationship. The fear man. And Jesus says, don't be driven by the fear man, fear God. Fear God. In fact, Jesus says it in a very strong way. He says, don't fear the one who can just kill the body. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear the one who can kill the body and has authority to cast into hell. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't shy away from declaring what was actually true. And Jesus said, God is the one who is the infinite and ultimate judge. And every person has a spiritual destiny. Now, we have the privilege of deciding which destiny we have. But God is a judge. And so he says, fear God. And there's something very spiritually and emotionally therapeutic, helpful about fearing God. In fact, there's a book in the Bible that teaches us what that looks like. A whole book in the Bible that talks about fearing God, and you can get a real understanding of what it looks like. It's the book of Proverbs, which is a book about wisdom. There's more statements in the book of Proverbs about fearing God than any other book in the Bible. And it's telling us how to wisely live life. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10, the fear of the Lord prolongs life. Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord gives strong confidence. Also in Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 15, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than having great treasure without it. Proverbs 16, the fear of the Lord will keep you from evil. Proverbs 19, the fear of the Lord leads to life so that you can sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Proverbs 22, the reward of the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 22 also is that the fear of the Lord leads to the fullness of life. Did you hear all those promises related to the fear of the Lord? When Jesus says, this is who you should fear, you should fear the Lord, he isn't telling us something that is negative or oppressive or somehow religiously dysfunctional. The exact opposite. He's talking about how to step into life, how to step into satisfaction, how to step into spiritual and emotional and relational reward. Be a person who fears the Lord. He says, this is what it looks like to be one of my followers. You put God first and you live to please him. You fear the Lord. And what he does is he adds to your life. He doesn't take away, he adds to it. Let God be the focus of your life. Seek him, honor him, fear him, love him, obey him. That's what someone who's following me does. He gives us a direction. Don't fear man, fear the Lord. Here's a third observation about what Jesus is saying. This is a third direction of following him. Don't be afraid because you are valuable to God. Don't be afraid because you're valuable to God. Now, I get to, at this point, get to use one of my favorite words. I've told you it's one of my favorite words. If I can work it into a sermon, I try to work it into, and here's a chance I get to work it in. It's the word juxtaposition. What an amazing juxtaposition. This is what Jesus says. Fear the Lord, don't be afraid. Fear the Lord, don't be afraid. How can you fear and not be afraid? Well, Jesus tells us. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. In our fear of God, we're also to understand how valuable we are to God. We're to understand how God sees us. When God sees us, when God sees you, he knows everything about you. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything you'll ever do. He knows everything you've done in secret. He knows everything that you feel shame about. He knows everything that you'd like to hide from others. He knows all your thoughts. He knows all your desires. He knows all your dreams. He knows everything about you. And he says, I love you. You matter to me. I care about you. I see you. I see you. I'm for you. And the Bible says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who or what could ever be against us? And God is for us. I tell you, the greatest reflection on the time that I got to go with Pastor Kenny and Pastor Greg and the guys in Haiti was the day we went to Show AIDS. It's an orphanage. It's a shelter for children who are born with HIV. You see, in Haiti, there's a demonic lie, that's a curse. And it's a curse to have a child. And rather than people being aware that it's passed on from them, they say it's somehow the baby's cursed. So when children are born and they're HIV positive, they are abandoned. Best case scenario, they're abandoned at a hospital. But so often, they're just thrown in the trash, literally thrown in the trash. And because of the compassion and love of some Christian people, many of those children, many of those babies were brought to CHOAIDS. And they care for them. And they love them. And they feed them. and they give them an education, and they give them medication, and they share with them the love of Jesus. So we partner with them. And I've been there many times, and some of our team members have been there many times as well. In December, I had to go, had the opportunity to go there because if you remember, you sent a team from Crossline. We went and we gave Christmas presents to all the children that and ministries that we partner with. And one of those ministries, Show Aid, so I was there. We gave the presents out. I got to give a little message of the gospel and Christmas and pray with the kids. And I met a group of teenagers, some of the older ones, and kind of just talk to them more seriously about their life and what God's plan might be for their life. And one young man in particular, got to pray for him. So when we came back, I was kind of looking for them, and they were having school, and they were all together in a group. They were taking having a French class, and I got to walk in and just talk to them. And I don't know, it's kind of even hard to explain, even as I've shared this a couple times since then. All I can say is as I was talking with them, I felt God gave me the compassion and the eyes to see them as he sees them. And I just began to just speak about how much God loves them. And he sees them. Because I was just thinking, what would it be like to know your parents threw you away? What would that do to your self-image? And I just said, God loves you. God sees you. God knows your dreams. He knows your heart. He knows all that's going on inside. He's for you. God loves you. And it was almost like I felt like, I don't know if you can understand, but it was like I wanted to take this love that I was feeling, kind of just put it into their hearts. And I took out my phone and I said, you know, I just became a new grandpa. I got a little grandson. And I had a picture of me and my son and my grandson. I'm holding my grandson and my son sitting here. And I said, do you know that when my son was born, he was small, like this baby. Their eyes are all, they're looking at the pictures. I said, I held my son, now look at him. And now he has a grandson. I said, do you think I love my son and my grandson? And they went, yeah. I go, do you know what? God loves them even more. And that's the way God loves you, like you're his little baby that he just wants to protect and care for. And he treasures you. He wants you to call him daddy. And things were coming into my mind as I was saying this, and I actually started crying, and I said, these are not tears of sadness. They're just, I want you to know how much God loves you. I want you to know how much God loves you. You are valuable to God. And Jesus said, fear the Lord, yes. But don't be afraid, because God loves you. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. That's how we can fear and not be afraid. When we have a fear and a love, the love that God pours into us, when we know we're valuable to God, we can fear the Lord, but not be afraid. In fact, we can be empowered and confident and strong and step into the future that God has for us. Why? Because we fear the Lord and we know we matter to him. We fear the Lord, we know he loves us. We fear the Lord, we know he's for us right now. That's what's true. And that's the direction that Jesus is giving us here to be one of his followers. Follow the direction. Don't be afraid, because you're valuable to God. Here's the next direction. Openly confess Jesus. Openly confess Jesus. The very next words of Jesus, verses 8 and 9. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. See, Jesus establishes a one-to-one relationship. He says, if you confess me, I will confess you. If you deny me, I will deny you. That's not that hard to understand, is it? That's what he says. In fact, he uses a word here. It's the Greek term homologeo. It's the same word we get over in 1 John 1:9. You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That Greek word homologeo, it means to say the same thing. So to confess Jesus before men is to say the same thing about Jesus that the Bible says about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He's the bondage breaker. He's the miracle worker. He's the bold prophet. He's the one who sacrificed himself to atone and pay for and forgive all of our sins. He's the one who was raised from the dead. He's the head of the church. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. He's coming back again to be king forever. Jesus. We openly confess Jesus. But not only means we say what the Bible says about him, we say we believe that. We say we believe it. So we're up front. We're out there about who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Back when I first became a follower of Jesus, we had a saying. And the only way you could actually connect this saying is to have been watching the TV and commercials back in the 60s. Because there was a product for women, Lady Clairol, and they had a commercial on TV. And it was about the hair dye and how good the hair dye was. And the tagline for this Lady Clairol commercial was, "Only your hairdresser will know for sure." So you dyed your hair, but no one knows that you dyed it. Only your hairdresser will know for sure. Well, we used to say, don't be a Lady Clairol Christian. You know, the kind that really only God knows for sure. No, be the kind of Christian where you openly confess Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you do that, I will openly confess you in heaven. But Jesus also says, if you deny me, then I will deny you before the angels of God in heaven. See, it's a one-to-one relationship. So Jesus is saying, this is what it looks like to be one of my followers. Just openly, make a stand for me, speak words of me, don't be ashamed of me, openly confess me before men. That's what we do when we have baptisms. That's what you do when you get to share your story with a neighbor or a friend or a coworker. That's what you do when you make a stand, because as a follower of Jesus, I just have to live this way because I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, when you openly do that, I'm going to openly confess you before my Father in heaven. Now, back in the early days of Crossline, we had a rock star who used to go to our church, literally. Phoenix Farrell, he was the bass player for Linkin Park, the group Linkin Park, world-known rock group. And one time Linkin Park was doing a concert in LA, and Phoenix said, hey, I'd like you to come to my concert. And I said, sure. And he goes, I'll get you an all-access pass. And these things are cool. An all-access pass. First, I got to be like down front, you know, I mean center stage watching a concert. Then afterwards, they had an after party. And this after party, they had these bouncers and all these guys out there checking. You couldn't just go into it. You had to have your all-access pass. Well, I had my all-access pass, you know, so it was like, all-access. Boom, I walked in. I mean, there were movie stars there. Famous people, the rich and famous were all there. I'm walking in, it's all crowded, and the singer Fergie, she was with the Black Eyed Peas at the time, she was standing there, and then, you know, then there was Paris Hilton, and I don't know what she was famous for, but she was there, and I'm in there, I got my all-access pass, so I'm back there, you know, so I'm hobnobbing. So I get up, and I walk up, and Fergie's like talking to this person, and Paris Hilton's right here. So I get like I'm right here, and like I'm just a foot away from both of them, but I'm kind of like, you know, nudging like this. And I take my cell phone out and I take a picture and I send it to my son. He was in college at the time. Pastor Taylor was at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. And I said, hanging out with Fergie in Paris, living your dream. That's all I said. So I got to go in there because I had an all-access pass. You know, if I didn't have an all-access pass and I walked in and the bouncer said, you know, you can't come in. I said, no, I know Phoenix Farrell, really. He said, no, you don't have an all-access pass. Denied entrance. Jesus said, we get an all-access pass when we confess him before men. We get to go right into heaven forever with him and everybody else who loves Jesus. But if we don't do that, if we deny him, if we reject him, no entrance. That's just what Jesus said. So what does it mean to be a follower? What's the direction that he's given us here? He said, openly confess me before men. And then here's the last one. Jesus says, rely upon the Holy Spirit for words of witness. Rely upon the Holy Spirit for words of witness. Remember, it's like I dumped all that stuff out of the box for that building the house for my granddaughter. At first, it's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't even know where to start. Maybe that's the way you feel. I don't know how to do this. I don't even know where to start. Follow the directions. And Jesus is giving us directions. He says, rely upon the Holy Spirit for words of witness. He says this, verse 10, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When you bring, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, don't worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, I don't want to spend too much time in this, but Jesus says something here that you might have question about. He says, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be forgiven you. What does that mean? Well, you just look at it in its context, because statements always have meaning in their context. Jesus has just said, you confess me before men, I'm going to confess you before my Father in heaven. You deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is denying Jesus, denying Jesus, denying Jesus, denying Jesus, denying Jesus, and with your last breath, you still deny Jesus. Because blasphemy is saying something against. That's what that means. Blasphemy is saying something against. By denying Jesus, you're saying against Jesus what the Holy Spirit says. Because what the Holy Spirit says, he's the Savior and Lord. And you need to repent and believe in him. And you're saying against that because you're denying it. Now, Jesus said every sin that could committed against the Son of Man, that would be forgiven him. In other words, you could be a denier, a denier, a denier, a denier, a denier, a denier. But even in your dying moments, repent and turn to Jesus and believe in him. And you'd be like the thief on the cross who did that. And what did Jesus say to him? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. There will be people in heaven who in their final moments turn to Jesus. But if they don't turn to Jesus ever, and they say against Jesus what the Holy Spirit says against Jesus, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you die denying Jesus, when you step into eternity, Jesus will deny you. There's no forgiveness. That's what Jesus says here. So now he said something about the Holy Spirit, and now he's going to say something positive. What he says is, don't worry if you're ever in this situation where they bring you up before rulers or in the synagogue, how you're going to speak in your defense or what you're supposed to say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, quite literally, that happened to some of them in the crowd. If you read the book of Acts, Peter and John, they were brought before the rulers of the religious group in the synagogue, and they were put on the spot and grilled and asked, why are you speaking in the name of Jesus? And you can read about it in Acts chapter 4, and you can read for yourself how the Holy Spirit gave them words to just speak in their response and in their defense. So, probably it's not going to happen to us. Most of us here aren't Jewish. Most of us here don't attend synagogues. But we are going to face situations out of our comfort zone where we kind of feel like, I feel like I should say something about Jesus here, but I don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Jesus said, if you rely on me and trust in me and you're in union with me, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. You don't have to stress, worry, panic. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say when you're in that moment and in that situation. Now, I will add this to my statement. If all you have in your understanding of being a follower of Jesus is your own personal testimony, if that's all you have, I asked Jesus into my life. I asked him to forgive my sin. He came into my heart. Well, then that's all the Holy Spirit's going to be able to raise up in your mind to say in that moment. Now, that's awesome. Everyone here who knows Jesus, you got a story, and you can share your story, and it's powerful. But some of us here have more than our story. You know why? Because we have taken the words of the Holy Spirit, God's word, the Bible, and we've internalized it. We've read it, we've studied it, we've memorized it, we've been in Bible discussions about it, we've heard it in sermons. So we've got it inside of us. And so now, when we're in that situation and we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit's got a lot of stuff he can draw upon. And we'll be saying things like, I can't even remember I remember that. I did remember, I did read that, but I didn't know I knew it like that. Well, see, it's in there. See what I'm saying? Because it's in there, the Holy Spirit can bring it here and then out of here when you rely upon him. This past week in Haiti, I joined the guys after they were already into the trip, but one of the things, Pastor Kenny mentioned it, is we built a bridge in the community. And we did it because of you, by the way. Your generosity. As part of our missions giving, and as part of when we did the Revive campaign so that we could redo the sanctuary, we as an elder team decided for every dollar given to this, we wanted to give a portion out in missions. And so we had some money in our missions fund. And Dave Brodsky, our missions director, and I met about a month ago, and we were talking about how do we want to give that money away? What? I mean, is that awesome? Giving God's money away for God's kingdom to bless people. And Dave brought something to my mind. He said, remember a couple years ago, we were in the area where we have the Field of Dreams and we've got the building and where Pastor Kenny did a church service last week. And we met with the village elders, the people, the leaders of the community. I go, yeah. I go, that was the guy, he raised all those chickens and did all that, yeah. And I remember because I asked him, what could we do, Crossline Church and the Sean Jay movement, what could we do to bless your community? And he said, there's this area on the road over there where there's a creek, it's like a ditch, and when it rains, it fills up with water and gets all muddy and you can't drive a car. There's literally no way to drive a car because it's just so muddy because of its filling up with water. If you could help us build a bridge, that would be great. They call it a bridge. We'd call it more like a culvert. It's not a bridge like you think of like the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's a culvert, a bridge over this creek that floods. So Dave and I said, let's do that. And you and your generous giving provided the finances for that. And the guys on the mission trip were part of that. And so we're there and we're all watching the guy, people in the community and Haitians, because we want to make the Haitians the heroes. They're working and they're putting the forms in and they're putting rebar in and they're digging all this out to build this bridge. And we were just talking to people. All the guys on the men's trip were just talking to people watching it and sharing the gospel. And so I walked up to a guy who was kind of standing there and he's looking at all the work going on. And I told him the backstory. I said, you know, we have the church down the road and we want to bless this community and we want to serve the people here. And one of the things that has been a problem is this area here that floods and you can't drive a car and everything. So we're building a bridge. And he goes, well, thank you. Really, thank you. I'm so grateful for that. And then and I said, but what we really want to talk to people about is the relationship with God. So I kind of just shared the gospel with the guy. And he said, yeah, I kind of heard that before. I get that. And then I thought, okay, what's my next move? You know? And I saw him working on that bridge. And I said, you know, like that bridge we're building? And he said, yeah. I go, you know, if you were on this side of the bridge and before the bridge is built and it's just water and mud, you can't get to the other side. And he said, yeah, I know. But with that bridge, you can walk, you'll be able to walk across and cars will be able to drive across. He goes, yeah, I know. I go, you know what? There's a bridge to God. I said, because God's holy and he's perfect and he's loving. But sin separates us from God. Sin's like that ravine there and where it just fills up with mud. And we're on the other side. And we, even though we might want to get to God, we can't because of this barrier of sin. But this is what God has done. He built a bridge through Jesus Christ so we can get to God. And he goes, yeah, I've heard that. I was like, okay, what am I going to say? I said, well, if you were standing on it, let's say we built the bridge. It's going to be finished in a couple of days. You're standing over there and you want to get to your house. You know the bridge is there, but what do you have to do? He goes, well, I got to walk across on it. I go, well, you know that God loves you and you know that Jesus is the bridge. It's not enough just to know that. You've got to walk across the bridge through Jesus. You have to actually step into Jesus by faith and trust Jesus forgives your sin in order that you can connect with God. So that night, we're debriefing, because this is what one of the things we do when we go on these trips. We all debrief, we worship, and we're talking. And I kind of said, man, the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me this, the bridge thing. And it turned out that the Holy Spirit is pretty consistent. Because every guy on our trip said, I use the same illustration. That came into my mind too. I talked about Jesus and the bridge, and we were all laughing because the Holy Spirit gave us what we needed to have to share with people. He will do that for you. He will. When you rely upon the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you words to be a witness. See, Jesus is telling us here what it looks like to be one of my followers. But I said something at the beginning of my message. I want to just kind of come back to this. When you follow Jesus, you're going to follow his directions. When you follow Jesus, you're going to follow his directions. If you think about these directions as just another system to get to God, you're being exactly like the Pharisees and the hypocrites. It's just rules and it's just a baptized version of what the Pharisees said. Do these things. No, no. Embrace Jesus. Love Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Invite Jesus into your heart, and he's going to change you on the inside. And what's that going to look like on the outside? Following these directions. So the real issue is being all in with Jesus. That's it. It's being all in with Jesus. I came across this. Maybe you've heard it before, but I want to tell you, I didn't invent this. I didn't even know. If I knew who wrote it, I'd credit him. But someone said this, and he called it the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I live by faith. I lean into God's presence, and I walk by patience, and I'm uplifted by prayer, and I labor with the power of the Spirit. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought or compromised or detoured or lured away or turned back or deluded or delayed. I won't flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the enemy, pander at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up. I won't let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. We follow Jesus, and we'll follow his directions. And my prayers for me and for every one of you and those of you who are listening online, that we'd go all in to follow Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of our hearts, wherever we are in our spiritual journey, and lead us to go all in, to trust in you and to acknowledge you as Lord and to openly confess you and to follow all your directions in the power of your Spirit. Help us do that. And Father, I pray for every one of us here. Our hearts resonate at all with this message, that we'd say yes to you. And so as we're praying, it's an opportunity for us to say yes to Jesus. And so if it's in your heart to follow his directions, because you're going to follow him, I'd like you to just stand right where you are. Just right now. Because if it's in your heart, openly confess Jesus and just stand up. Say, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's who I am. And I'm going to follow his directions. Jesus, I pray that you would give people the confidence to do that. And if they're not ready to do that, they won't feel coerced, because it's not hypocrisy. It's authentic relationship with you. We want to be all in with you, Jesus. And we want to follow your directions. Help us do that. To you be the glory. All hail King Jesus. Amen.